Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 545, RTX 2016 recap, recorded live on July 7th, 2016. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Godzilla T.
And we are back after quite a couple of weeks of being off from conventions and RTX and all that fun stuff. But we have returned. We are back on the live stream. We are back on Twitch. It's been a while since we have been here. We've had a couple of resubs. Just want to give a quick shout out to our Twitch subscribers. One of which is in the house right now, Mr. Pins Halo himself. So congrats, or I guess congrats. Thank you for supporting the show that way. And I just mailed off your book today, actually. So you'll be getting that in the mail soon. It only took, 5 months to get it off?
Only?
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad. Anyways. So we are here to talk about some news that we've actually kind of left in the dark for a while. Last time we were on here, we were actually talking about some E3 stuff, the Halo Wars 2 beta, more specifically. And we have a little bit more to talk about now because we have our last official supported content release. If you guys remember, 343 said that they were going to be coming out with regular guaranteed content through the month of June. So we have that final release of content, which was the Warzone Firefight update, touted the largest content update to be given to Halo 5, which is, I think, pretty accurate. We have Warzone Firefight, which is amazing. We also have two new Warzone maps in return of that. We actually have a brand new one that's actually has the normal firefight variant. I think it also has the Warzone Assault variant with it.
Warzone variant.
But so is it not Warzone Assault supported? I thought it was.
Oh, that's right. Never mind. The other map. Yeah.
There's Attack on Sanctum, which is the Warzone and the Warzone Firefight. Warzone Firefight map.
Is Sanctum, and then they did they released an assault map for the last one, the last Warzone map that they put out. Dark Star.
Yeah, the Dark Star one.
It now has an assault variant.
So lots of content, and then we also have a new arena map, which is Molten, which is the reimagining of the rig, which I've played a few times. I'm not exactly sure how I feel about it. It feels very congested in some areas. It feels like there's a lot of forcing of foot traffic to certain areas of the map, but that's just me.
Yeah, I haven't been able to get out of Firefight yet. I just kind of been stuck there for the last few days, getting an impressive amount of rec packs out of it. My last rec opening video, I did not purchase a single pack with rec points. The only pack I bought was the special Spartan Recruit pack, just so people could see what was in it. But all the rest of them are just ones that showed up in game, silvers and golds.
I noticed that you had 33,000 rec points in your video.
Yeah. Like I said, I did not buy a single pack that time. And, you know, usually I'll deplete my rec packs for the video, or my rec points for the videos to open packs. That one, I had 30 plus packs and I didn't spend a single rec point.
Wow.
I'd say it's treating me pretty good.
And for those that don't know and haven't played Firefight yet, for some reason, 343 actually has a little thing that they're doing for launching Firefight. I don't know how long it's going to last, but depending on how well you perform in Warzone Firefight, you'll actually receive rec packs for it. Silver packs, gold packs, and they also said that if you get at your first Warzone Firefight win, you'll get one gold pack. On your fifth Warzone Firefight win, I think you get third. Okay, on your third, you get
three packs.
And then on your 10th one, you get 5. So there's plenty of opportunities here to excuse me, to get some gold packs and really work on some of those unlocks if you're looking to get those unlocks still. And I actually had a game last night when we were doing our Warzone Wednesdays that I got 3 silver packs, even though we didn't win.
Yeah.
So it's definitely something where you can get quite a few packs out of it. And I actually refinished up my silvers from last night because they released new wrecks for the Warzone Firefight update. So I actually completed all the new silver ones, and now I'm back to getting golds, and I'm officially at 82% unlocks for everything.
Well, that's good. I think I broke 70% or high 60s. Haven't actually looked, but actually tonight I just opened a daily win just so I could get me a wasp because I was out of wasps. I love that the wasp. I love it.
The wasps are nice, but once they lose their shields, they are paper.
Yes, they are. You have to be very cautious with them, and you cannot just sit there because whatever shooting at you will just light you up. But I played a game earlier tonight. This is the last wasp I had, and I pulled it out on round 4, about halfway through the round, finished that round. By the end of round 5, it is basically a flying ball of fire, and I died with 10 seconds left in the match.
Oh, no. Was that one of the rounds where it was a protect and you actually won, or was it?
Yeah, we actually won. We had to protect the Forerunner power stations or whatever they are.
Yay. Awesome.
I like that. I like the Wasp. And I've already seen some really neat looking custom games with the Wasp. Saw one today where you basically, it's red against blue. You have each have a battle cruiser, like the Pillar of Autumn or whatever you want to call it. It's spaceship. And there's points on each spaceship that you have to destroy to capture or to score points. And each team gets Wasps. It looks like a really fun just battleship map, space battle map. You have, the point is to kill, but the actual goal of the game is destroy the other battleship, and you do that by destroying these points. So I'm looking forward to actually getting into that and playing that one.
You got tomorrow for it.
I also saw one where there's an infection variant where you spawn with one infected, the infected's in the wasp, and then the humans hide in a building. But you can't just go in the building and camp and win. The wasp can fly around the building and pretty much shoot you wherever you are in the building. The idea is to keep moving and to stay out of the gun sights. That one looks like a lot of fun as well. So it's really impressive what they're doing with the wasp.
While I was playing on Tuesday as well for Tactical Tuesday, they actually added the wasp into the Sand Trap remake for Big Team. So it's actually in matchmaking too.
Nice.
Yeah, we lost that match. We let the other team get massive vehicle control for pretty much the entire game, and we ended up losing pretty badly.
Yeah, on that map, if you don't control the vehicles, it can be a pain.
Yeah, it was not fun. Not fun at all. But for the most part, I really like the Wasp. I like that it's low rec cost. And I think that kind of helps justify the paper-thin armor on it. But it wouldn't surprise me if we see another variant come out in a later content update that's a little more beefed up, has a little more defense on it. That might be like a level 5 or 6 wreck.
Yeah, I definitely think we're going to see more of them. I think the current generation of the Wasp is a good alternative to a Warthog. Because not every time can you get somebody into gun in a Warthog. But you can pull a Wasp out for the same rec cost and be helpful. And it's definitely not overpowered. It definitely, to do well with it, you have to have some skill with it. I think the chain gun could last a little longer before it overheats. But overall, I really like the balance of the vehicle. It doesn't get shredded immediately if you're smart. If you just fly into a group of Covenant, if you're playing Warzone or a bunch of people in Warzone, yeah, you're going to get melted. But if you take your time, go at long range with it and, you know, use the chin gun and use the missiles properly and keep moving, you can make a wasp last for quite a while. I was in Warzone, I was fighting Banshees with it and winning.
I was going to just ask that question. I wonder how well it does against Banshees head on. So that's good to know that it actually bounces out pretty well.
Yeah, but you have to keep moving. And definitely don't get hit by a Banshee bomb. So you want to try to, you know, stay behind the Banshee as much as possible. Use your lock-on missiles, which are really nice. Depending on how close you are to the Banshee, it can take one or two volleys or even three volleys to kill a Banshee. Granted, the further away you are, the more volleys it takes. But if you're if you're right on top of the Banshee, usually one volley will take care of it.
Okay.
Especially if you put a little damage on it with your chin gun first.
Nice.
I've heard people say bad things about it, but I think it's a good vehicle. It's a nice combination between the Hornet and the Falcon.
Yeah, and I like the kind of overall freedom of the horizontal movement, kind of like the Phaeton. And thank goodness it's not like the Hornet where you have to look up in order to like fly up and straight, and then you have to look back to go down or whatever it was. So definitely a lot better than that. I think the handling of the Wasp is actually a lot better from a multiplayer perspective, which fits well into Warzone. It's really the first human weapon, the first human vehicle that we've had that I think balances out in the gameplay. I think the Falcon worked well just from the standpoint of the armor abilities and reach, especially with the jetpack. So that little verticality, I think, really at least made that vehicle play a little bit better in the reach sandbox. But the Wasp just feels like having the VTOL kind of style to it makes it just kind of feel like it's I don't know. There's just something about the Wasp that makes it feel a lot better in terms of a multiplayer balance perspective, and I think it kind of shows.
Yeah, they did a really good job on it. I'm impressed.
Yeah, and quick shout out to Frizzle Chief, who just subbed as well. So I think that is technically our third sub that we have, in addition to Pins, him, and Dustin Griffith. So. Cool. Shoutouts to our three subs. Yay.
Welcome to the fold.
Yeah. Awesome. So we have a little bit other Warzone stuff that they are also kind of that they also released as well. There are Warzone firefight commendations now. So there's a commendation for killing bosses in a Warzone firefight match. And then there's also a commendation for killing Prometheans in a Warzone firefight match. Those are the two that they just highlight, but there's some other additional ones in your personal Warzone commendations that you'll find, and they're specific to Warzone firefight. And actually, thanks to Warzone firefight, we actually accomplished our first level 5 Spartan Company commendation last night.
Cool. And what would that be?
I'm looking it up right now. I don't remember off the top of my head. I think it's the one where you kill the Covenant. Looking it up now, it is, can we get along? Kill Covenant enemies. So we have that one officially completed. 19,400 out of 19,400.
Nice. Our first complete.
Our first fully completed level 5. We still have another 12 level 3s to complete for our Spartan Company accommodations. Our next closest one is from the top rope, kill an enemy Spartan with the ground pound. We have 1469 out of 1500. And then the absolute lowest one that we have, which we need the most work on, is the pain train. Kill an enemy Spartan with a shoulder bash.
That one really is a pain.
That one, whenever I'm going into SWAT, I try to consciously think about, okay, if I'm close enough to an enemy, shoulder bash him instead of trying to get the headshot.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to work on it that way whenever I go and do my daily SWATs to get those Spartan charges in that way.
good way to do it.
So, yeah, amongst those two, we still have the other nine to go through. And for anyone that's in the company, you can go check those out there. For anyone who wants to join the company, we actually have five slots left. We actually have 95 out of 100 members. So we still have a little bit of room to squeeze people in. So if you still need Achilles and want to play with a group that is pretty active in playing Halo, then you are free to join up. We accept pretty much everybody who requests to join the Spartan company. So if you head on over to poddaggler.com/company, that will redirect you to the Halo Waypoint site for the Spartan company, and you can request to enlist there. And one of us will accept you. And we usually accept people within 1 to 2 days, depending on whoever is available to get to the website the quickest. And then also, if you're part of the Spartan company, you might be able to help out GT on achieving Halo.
Most definitely. My life has settled back down to where I am starting to look for people to do some more missions.
Awesome.
Personal life kind of got in the way there for a little while, but now things have settled down. And As it tends to happen. Yeah, I will be looking for people to do that. I'm going to try to start recording every Saturday that I can get people at 5 o'clock Eastern time. If you are overseas or 6 hours ahead of us or whatever time frame you're in, contact me. And if I can get three people within, you know, a certain amount of time zone difference, I will do a special one to get you guys on at a different time that's more convenient for you. Because I know running on Eastern time doesn't really work in Europe that well, or you know, a lot of the other countries. So, like I said, you know, if you guys are overseas and you want to be part of Achieving Halo, just give me a, you know, shoot me a message on Xbox Live or on Twitter, and we will do what we can to make some accommodations to make it more fitting to your schedule.
And with that said, with the whole European thing too, I know I'd been touting for a while that we would get a Saturday Spartan Company event together to actually accommodate those overseas. That might be happening here pretty soon. I think after San Diego Comic-Con is done, I'll have more free time to actually get that coordinated. So we'll start to see, or hopefully within the next month or so, we will see a Saturday company event. And we might actually, depending on how many people we keep getting for some of these company events, we might consolidate the Tuesday and Wednesday just down to one day and possibly just do something either Tuesday or Wednesday and then something on Saturday. And we might just keep those. We might do the Tuesday, Wednesday mix as a company specific one, and then a Saturday company specific one, and then just have the Friday be a, hey, anybody can join type of thing. So keep an eye out for that. That should be coming here pretty soon. So there's some stats from, well, actually, before we move on to that, a couple other things from the Warzone Firefight stuff before we move on. We were actually talking about this a little bit before the pre-show, but I wanted to address it a little bit in the actual podcast. But let's talk about the Grunt Goblin a little bit.
Oh, my Lord.
That thing, oh, my gosh. I mean, 343 did a really good job with making this thing and just being a terrorizing piece of machinery.
You know, if they'd have done this with Warden, not necessarily the funny lines and anything, but just the challenge that he is to kill. And it's not just because he takes a lot of damage. He's fun to fight.
And he's hilarious, too.
Everybody would have a different opinion of Warden, but man, they did such a great job on that Goblin. He's a challenge to fight, but he doesn't feel like a bullet sponge.
He's plenty of bullet sponge.
Well, he doesn't feel like a bullet sponge.
Fair enough.
You know, not like the Warden. He just kind of stands there.
It still takes a lot.
Yeah.
A lot to take him out. We were playing Warzone Wednesday yesterday, and I was saying before the podcast that I took a tank and a Mantis up against it, and it just destroyed me.
Oh, yeah, you definitely don't want to get close to him.
And those needles track so hard.
Yes.
So hard.
I've learned that you want to take him at range, and you want to be near cover.
And that even is not enough sometimes. Because you can be at range not. And he'll shoot those needles and it's like, there's no way. I'm too far out. And like about 20, 30 feet away from it, you start to see them curve towards you. And then you're like, oh, crap. And then there was one point last night where I was in the Banshee on Attack on Sanctum and I was boosting away. And the needles were going faster than I was boosting. I'm like, oh, this isn't fair. This just isn't fair.
Oh yeah, I got a stutter tonight. I've experienced that as well. Even with the maneuverability of a Banshee with the rolls and flips and stuff, it's really hard to get away. You have got to put something between you and those needles to get away from them.
Yes, you do.
I was shooting
by any means necessary.
Yeah, I was hammering one of them just with the plasma cannon. Oh, I was halfway across the map. And next thing I know, this barrage of needles just rips me out of the air. By the time I saw them, it was too late. I couldn't do anything. They'd already locked on and it was done. There was no place to go. He is so much fun to fight.
Well, and I think one of the things that makes him fun to fight too is just the dialogue that they've added to him, because it's really funny. It really is.
Yes, definitely. I love the dialogue. He's a typical grunt.
He's a grunt with a super robotic.
Yeah, he's exactly what you'd think a grunt would be with a high-powered giant piece
tool
of
destruction.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you just look at the goblin, just the needler on it is massive, and then the little pods on the back. It's definitely fearful. Oh, and then he jumps. It makes these giant leaps, and if you touch him at all in a vehicle, you're instantly EMP'd. Instantly.
Well, if you get close to him, yeah. You definitely want to keep vehicles away from him. That's the one thing I like about him is his mobility. When he's out in the open, he'll jump on top of a base, or he'll jump right at you.
Teabag Halo 4 put in the Twitch chat, they're implementing Titanfall into Halo with the Grunt Goblin. With how he drops in.
That's good. That's good. I like
yeah,
that.
That's good. I do too. But that goblin, I mean, geez. And I actually played on Attack on Sanctum at RTX, and I actually had the first win of the floor. I think I was actually in the third game that was played at RTX on Friday, and it was the first win of the floor. So nice. That was fun. And we had the Grunt Goblin.
At what level? Or round, I should say.
Right. It was either 3 or 4.
That's good.
I think, I want to say it was 4. It was 4. Because the first one, I think the first one, it was Eliminate Covenant, 75 Covenant. Second one was Duelist Hunters. Third one was the Spec Ops Elites, the four of them in the middle. Fourth one was the Grunt Goblin, and the fifth one was Protect the Forerunner Artifacts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was coaching. The whole time, and then David Ellis was back there behind everybody, and of course to crush spirits, he said, yeah, that's the easiest map to win firefight on. I'm like,
thanks.
Oh, okay, at least we won.
Yeah, I do have to say they do need to work on their boss tuning a little bit. There are some bosses that really shouldn't be showing up on round one or round two.
That, and then whenever they have the triple wardens for the final round in addition to the other ones, so if you have like other bosses and then add on top of it the triple wardens, that just, no, there's not enough time on that round.
It is difficult. I've lost it more than I've won it, that's for sure.
Yeah. And did you see the video today that Unishek posted of them doing a reckless Warzone firefight match?
You know, I started to watch that today, but I got distracted by, you know, my job, so I didn't actually get to watch that.
Yeah, so him and I guess it was a full party of 8. They went in. They didn't call in any wrecks that cost wreck power. So they would still go and get the primary
loadout weapons.
It was loadout weapons only, or you could pick up weapons that enemies dropped. That was their stipulation, and they actually won. Granted, it was on Attack on Sanctum, the easiest map to win it on, but they still did it somehow.
The one that I find really annoying is when you get the six hunters inside the base.
I've never had that yet.
Yeah.
I haven't had
whatever
that yet.
You do, if you see that one, just get out of your vehicle and go get something else. Because you can't get a good shot on them with a vehicle. You know, like a tank, a Wraith, or a Mantis. Wraith a little easier because you can arc the shot, but even still.
Mm-hmm.
It's that one. I think I've won that one once.
Okay. I've only played on Attack on Sanctum twice, but there's one little thing I like to do whenever I'm playing, and it's one of those where you're just killing off either like just Covenant or Prometheans, or are going up against maybe the Spec Ops Elites or some of the soldiers, is to just take a ghost and splatter.
Yeah, Scout Hog.
Because it makes it so easy.
Oni Scout Hog. Works really well.
Yeah, whenever you get a round where it's just eliminating enemies that are easily splatterable, it's the funnest thing ever. Because you can finish it so quickly. It's like, oh, well, this is easy. So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's really satisfying just to race around the map splattering AI.
Yeah, it is.
Until they throw the hunter in the middle of the pack and you don't see him until you come around the corner.
Yeah, and then you run into him and they throws his shield back at you and you insta-splode.
Yeah.
There are a few of those moments last night. Just a few. So Warzone Firefight so far has been a lot of fun. I think there is still a little more tuning that they need to work on in terms of difficulty, combinations of enemies, and even the round timing, I think, could be tweaked a little bit, because one of the things that is really annoying, especially for the first round, is you'll spawn at one part of the map and then the enemies might spawn on a completely different side of the map. So one game last night, we played on Urban, and it takes you 30 seconds from where you spawn to get over to where the enemies are spawning. And that's 30 seconds where you're doing nothing but running. So it'd be nice that the round doesn't start until the enemies actually spawn in.
Yeah.
Because that's, 15 seconds can be very, very valuable.
Oh, yeah. I've lost matches because of that 15 seconds. The other thing is the Defend Garage or Defend Armory one, same thing. They're already capping the garage or the armory by the time you get to it.
Yeah, which is not fun.
Spawning could use a little work. From what I've noticed, it spawns you. You know, I understand you want to spawn in a safe zone, but yeah, it's not spawning in good places. One thing would be spawn at a base would be preferable, so you can be right there at the rec station to top off on ammo, because your starting weapons or your loadout weapons, if you don't have the extended mag, they don't come with a whole lot of ammo. The extended mag definitely helps. It keeps you in the fight longer. But it would be nice to at least spawn with a base between you and where you're going, you know, just so you can kind of make a flyby.
Yeah, but pick up the extra ammo to start.
Yeah. But overall, they did a really good job. The improvements from the beta to the actual launch are tremendous.
I would agree.
You know, granted, you had to keep in mind you're dealing with a beta, so you know, balance was all over the place. But they did a really good job on this Firefight launch. It's got some minor tweaks, which you can't launch a game and not have minor tweaks, especially with an online multiplayer. The boss refresh, even for regular Warzone, I've been hearing good things about that as well. Again, I haven't played regular Warzone because I've been stuck in Firefight.
Right.
Everybody's too much fun playing Firefight. But I've heard a lot of good things about the boss refresh in just regular Warzone.
That's good.
Yeah, as we talked about earlier, we got a new Warzone assault map, which is called Prospect. And that is the assault variant of Skirmish at Darkstar.
Ooh, actually, oh, okay.
I remembered it that time.
Yay!
Which is, still takes that. It follows that Meridian theme real closely. I'm looking forward to playing that map. I'm going to probably this weekend get into and play in some Warzone Assault just so I can play on that map.
Nice.
Overall, it's good. really impressed.
Yeah, and I think the difficulty increase is actually really good. It makes it a lot more team-based oriented, which I feel that the Warzone in the beta was definitely under-tuned.
Yeah, the biggest thing I had with the beta is how fast you got wrecked. Now, granted, it could just be the way they set the beta up, but it almost seemed like you could pull tanks way too early. Now, you've got to kind of think ahead. You've got to kind of think about your wreck level and that fifth round. You want to make sure that you've got enough wreck to pull in the heavy stuff if need be.
Yes. And another thing, too, is for those rounds where you are just killing off bosses, making sure that if you need to, take the time to kill off the other smaller dudes so you actually work on that wreck level before finishing the round and taking advantage of that time. I know there's a speed bonus score-wise to getting a round done sooner, but wrecks are also kind of important to actually win the match.
Yeah, you sacrifice your wreck level by doing that. So it's a real balancing act. You want to kill enough enemies that you're getting your wreck level up and still try to catch that speed bonus. Because that does give you your higher score.
It's hard. That's for sure. But I think for the most part, I mean, talking with a lot of people, I have seen quite a bit of people like gripe about the difficulty. But I think at the same point, there's been a lot more people saying that while it is more difficult, it is one of those things that has really been, I think, for the most part, accepted as this actually feels a lot more of an appropriate challenge given the difficulty, given having to actually work together as a team. And for the most part, getting to round 4 and round 5 is not too difficult, and really you want it to be difficult to actually complete those rounds, but you don't want it to be impossible.
Yeah. In the beta, whenever you pull the three wardens, it always seemed like it was difficult to get that one completed every time, even with, you know, 6 tanks hammering on him. But that was more to the map because you only had really one place you could attack him from.
Well, and I mean, in my opinion, that problem still persists.
Well, it kind of all depends on where he spawns.
So every time I've had him so far from just playing yesterday, honestly, I just only played yesterday, but they've spawned inside a base after a separate set of bosses. So they themselves are not the only bosses for that wave. And by the time we take out the other two bosses, we only have a 2 minute or a minute and a half time left on the round to even start attacking the wardens before they even spawn in. And at that point, it's like, well, we don't have enough time. Even if we brought out all the firepower, we don't have enough time. So,
yeah, the times that I've fought them, I one time was in a base, but the rest of the time they were out where you get to them with vehicles on where the Banshee spawns. Yeah, escape from no.
Well, it's either escape from ARC or it's the Meridian one.
Escape from ARC. That's the one. Where the Banshee generally spawn in Warzone, they have the Warden spawn up there, for a tank, it's a lot harder because they have a lot of cover. But if you can get a Mantis up there or bring a Wraith in and just use the splash damage, you can get in there and get them killed pretty quickly. It's still a challenge, but it's not like pushing the easy button. The stacking bosses sometimes can be a pain, yes. One that I have the most trouble with is when they have the three or four pairs of hunter elders inside a base where you can't get any vehicles. You have to use your rocket launchers, fuel rods, loadout weapons to get, to kill them. You can bring a Wraith in there, but it's very limited the amount of damage the Wraith can do because you have to rely on the splash damage because you're shooting over walls. That one has presented the most challenge for the gameplay that I've had.
I hope that 3-for-3, and I'm assuming they are, but I'm hoping that 3-for-3 is actually looking at a lot of the boss rounds and seeing that if there's a lot of rounds that they see a lot of people not completing, that they dial those back. Because I definitely feel that there are some of those boss rounds that are unbalanced and nearly impossible to defeat unless everyone has a specific set of weapons. And I think in order to keep it fun, it has to be something that is challenging, but has multiple ways to adequately get the bosses eliminated. So like instead of 100% effort, like have it be like 85% effort to completely get that boss out. Like if you had the perfect strategy and you had to have all the time that to take out that boss using that strategy, maybe dumb it back or dial it back to where it only takes 80% or 85% of the time with the perfect strategy, and that kind of broadens it out for other people to use different kinds of weapons based on what wrecks are possibly available to them to actually go in and be successful. So keep it difficult, but don't make it too difficult where it's nearly impossible if you don't have the exact right setup in order to take out the bosses.
Mm-hmm. Well, with the stats they released on the Grunt and Goblin, you know they're watching it. They have the information, so I definitely expect some tuning to happen. It will probably take a month or two, maybe three, but I do expect to see some tuning on Firefight.
And we've seen tuning crop up every now and then, so yeah, it makes sense.
So if it's not to your liking right now, take a break from it, come back in a month or so and after they release a tuning update and try it again. But overall, they did a really good job. I win as many matches as I lose, at least. Most of the time I lose is when I get defend the garage on the first round. Prometheans are kind of hard to take out, which is standard loadout weapons.
Yeah, especially knights.
Yes. Don't be afraid to pick up the Covenant or Promethean weapons because they work really well.
Yeah. I've lost quite significantly more games than I've won for Firefight so far.
Yeah, I haven't actually looked at the stat, but I probably have lost more than I've won, but I've just been having so much fun that I don't care. And that's the important part, is having fun.
Yep. So, yeah, Warzone Firefight. It's a lot of fun. And it's actually nice to be playing Firefight on all the Warzone maps, not just Escape from ARC. So that's nice.
Which, you know, yeah. I can totally understand for a beta, only setting it up on one map. But having six maps to play it on definitely helps.
Yep. So going to some Halo Wars 2 stats, just real quick. Since they did actually release a bunch of stats at their RTX panel, which was actually really cool. They showed off some Halo Wars footage from the first campaign mission, which I actually got to see at E3. That was one of those behind closed door type of things. And they also showed off the campaign trailer, which I also got to see, but that was another behind closed doors thing. So that was finally released to the world. But some stats for the Halo Wars 2 beta. Total gameplay minutes was 72,245,130, which is a long freaking time. If someone wants to crunch those numbers into years, go ahead. Total units vanquished, so total amount of units that were killed or destroyed, over 80 million, which is astounding. And again, this is only over a week and a half period, over 12 days, which is nuts. Or sorry, not 12 days. No, it was the 13th to 22nd, so 10 days. So yeah, 10 days. UNSC versus Banished win. The Banished won 50.8% of the time, and the Spirit of Fire won 49.2% of the time. So pretty well balanced as far as the heroes are concerned. Yeah, that was one thing that they were looking for, and that's a good return on that. Although, just from what I got to play, it seemed like the Banished had a little bit more upper edge on infantry, whereas Cutter or the Spirit of Fire had a little bit more edge on vehicles. So something to keep in mind.
I don't know. I got steamrolled by flamethrowers quite a bit. I mean, literally steamrolled.
Flame rolled at that point, I guess.
Yeah. You're just a pile of steam after they're done.
You're smoldering fire at that point. Smoldering pile of rubble. And this was an interesting set. I was kind of curious that they pulled this out, but there were over 310,000 hijacks, vehicle hijacks. There were a total number of over 204 million units created. So vehicles, infantry, all that stuff, which is astounding. The most destructive leader power was the UNSC Lotus Mines. It was used almost a million times. Almost a million times. There were almost 4.5 million buildings built and a total 18 million buildings destroyed. There were, I don't know if this is like how they determine this cost, but there's a stat that he put up here, total medical and repair bill of $831 billion.
That actually seems kind of a little low.
I'm not sure exactly how they calculate the cost of that, but that was the number that they provided.
True. I don't know either.
Yeah. So anyways, so there's that. Total distance brute jump units traveled was over 2 million kilometers. And then there were 942 zettajoules of energy released from orbital bombardments. Zettajoules.
That's a new term for me.
That's a lot. That's over penta, I think. So it's kilo, giga, what's after gigabytes? Tera, peta, and zeta. So 942 with 18 zeros.
It's a lot of power.
Yeah. A freaking lot. So yeah, that was some of the Warzone, or sorry, not Warzone, the Halo Wars 2 beta stats that they released. And then they also, in the on Waypoint, for one of the later little community update things, the top three players for the PvE matches for the beta was Gewandren, Gewandern, played 74 matches with an average final score of about 12,000. Tip of My Barrel was 72 matches with almost 20,000 final score. And then Bob's Burger 992 with 69 matches played and an average final score of about 16,000 points.
That's a lot of games.
Yeah. 74 games over 10 days. 7 games a day. And some of those games are range anywhere from 30 minutes to 2 hours. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot. That's a lot of time to be playing Halo Wars. So yeah, there's some stats that they released over the weekend, which was really cool to see. During the RTX stream, they also talked about how they designed the banners to really stick out from the Covenant. So you'll see a lot of the vehicles for Halo Wars 2 from the banner side are red instead of purple. That was one of the things that they talked about. And then there were some other things that the Banished from a lore perspective added to make them a little more vicious. So on the Wraith, for example, you see kind of little forks on the bottom that's not as smooth cut. And then same thing for turrets, banshees, ghosts, spirit dropships, and all that stuff.
I want a banished ghost in Halo 5 Warzone.
Oh, that'd be cool. I mean, banished isn't in the Halo 5 lore, so to speak.
I know. I still want one. Fingers crossed for Halo 6.
There you go. Yeah.
Which they did say that the story for Halo Wars 2 does take place after Halo 5. So we'll get a little filler in there to kind of put two games together. I'm looking really forward to that.
It'll be interesting to see what kind of crossover there is, because they did actually say that there was going to be kind of some inferences made from the Halo 5 storyline into Halo Wars 2 at the RTX panel. So it'll be interesting to see what exactly gets pulled over and what they're going to reference.
And for anybody out there that has not yet read the book, Read Hunters in the Dark.
Yep, I haven't read that yet.
Yeah, you got until February.
Yeah, I've got quite a few things to read before then. I need to finish reading Broken Circle for once. I need to read Hunters in the Dark. I need to read the Halsey Journal. I keep on getting hounded by Pins to do that. So I need to take care of that. And I still need to finish, or I don't even think I've started Mortal Dictata yet. So
yeah, you're way behind on that one.
Yeah. And there's technically a few other short stories from the Halo Evolutions stuff, but I think I've read most of the big important ones from that. But yeah, there's still some Halo books I need to actually read, and I still haven't finished actually Escalation yet, the comics.
I haven't either.
Can you still get the journal? Yes, there is still technically limited editions of Reach that are floating around out there that you can go buy. So yeah, if you go find the limited editions or the collector's editions, yeah, you can definitely go find the journal.
Yeah, and most of them aren't even asking more than retail price for them.
I mean, they should be cheaper. And I even actually have, I have three limited edition copies of the game.
Oh.
So yeah, maybe I'll give away one of those if someone's really interested in it. Here, I'll put it this way, Uncle York, if you want the extra content stuff of the limited edition, I'll give it to you for $20. It'll be everything but the game. So if you want it, let me know.
Because we're pretty sure you already got the game.
Yeah. Anyways, there's some other stuff from RTX that they talked about, some upcoming Forge stuff, some upcoming Forge announcements that was really cool. One of which being an actual file browser for a change. Did you get a chance to watch the stream at all?
Yes, I did. Actually, I did.
Yeah, so that content file browser. Oh, and I guess to preface this, they're actually going to break out the Forge menu into a completely separate menu. So you'll be able to go into Forge, you'll be able to manage your own custom maps and game modes, and then you'll also be able to access the content browser, which allows you to actually search for maps and game modes without anyone having to be logged in, without having to go and friend anybody or follow somebody to access their stuff on the console. You will be able to go from the console to search via tags like you can right now on the website and actually find maps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's looking really impressive. I can't wait to play with it.
And another thing too, which I guess they're kind of revisiting here, which I actually didn't notice until looking at a picture I took now, but they have an entry for Forge object groups, and I thought at one point they said that it was too difficult to actually implement that, so they weren't going to do it. But now actually seeing that in the content browser, I wonder if they actually got that to work.
Possible.
Because one of the things about Forge that they were touting for a while, in case some people don't know, is the ability to go into Forge, create an object, so be able to spawn different things, put them in a group, and then save the group out to a separate kind of file or whatever. And it was something that they were talking about Forge for a while, and we hadn't seen that yet. But now looking at the screenshot, it looks like in the example they gave, there's a map type, there's a game mode type, and then there's a Forge object type. So with the Forge object, you can actually save the object itself and then place the object in any map. So say you design a base layout that you want to be able to reuse in other maps, you can save that out as a Forge object on its own, and then you can import that into another map or duplicate it or whatever.
That will be very handy, because there's, you know, certain things that people build that they want to be able to easily duplicate. Something that I saw this week was a flood themed map, and it looked like the flood.
Looked floody.
It looked just like Truth and Reconciliation, except high def. It looked great. It had that brown, tan, foggish look to it. The little pus sacks, you know, on the walls and ground, and even a combat flood in it. And the guy that made it, I'm impressed. He actually made a combat flood out of Covenant bodies. The little pus sacks, you know, that you see on the walls and stuff, made out of trash bags and a plant. But it looked very convincing. with the correct filters on it and the correct daytime settings, it looks really cool. So
there have been some crazy things that have gone on with.
But this is neat, because if this is true, then you can build something like this, like the little pus sack. It's made of two pieces and you have a script attached to it. So you can group that all together, save that, and then you can just spawn it in and put it wherever you want. You don't have to build it every time. Same with the combat form. It's made of, I believe, like 10 bodies. Or five or seven bodies, something like that. So it's not something that's just easily put together. And like the little trash bag pus sack, it takes some time to put together. But now you can group that together and save it, and you can put them. You can build a couple of different versions with, different arm placement and things like that, and just stick them around your mount. So it'll be really, really a really good thing if that is actually true.
I would assume that if it's a work in progress, image, and it wasn't being worked on, if it was something that wasn't going to be possible, that it wouldn't have been included.
There's been a lot of this impossible talk with the Xbox One.
Making the impossible possible.
Yeah. There's a lot of this, and it's not just relegated to Halo or the Xbox One. It seems like across the board, that's not possible. And then next thing you know, they find out that it's possible.
Well, and I have to give credit to Tom French and the multiplayer team for really coming through with all the content that they put out for Forge and all the stuff that they've done with the maps. And granted, some of the maps on Halo 5 definitely kind of pale in comparison to some of the other classic maps that we've seen in the Halo franchise, but I mean, they've done a pretty good job at really cranking out content for this game, so I have to hand it to them. They've done a pretty good job. Granted, it's still not the full map count that they've promised of the, what was it, the 12, what was it, the 18 additional arena maps and however many Warzone maps or whatever.
There was supposed to be a total of, 21 maps, I think it was, in DLC.
Yeah, and there were technically, what was it, 7 Warzone, and because I don't count the big team maps as being included, and that's 6 down, so that's what, like maybe 15 maps that they made, which is still a decent amount for being free DLC.
It would be nice to see some more maps come out that aren't just Forge maps. Don't get me wrong, the Forgers are doing a great job, and a lot of the maps are just absolutely crazily awesome. But I would like to see some more developer maps, and not really remixes. I would like to see original content. The remakes are okay, but I'd like to see some original content, because Halo 5 is so much different than all the other Halo games. By the time you do a remake, it doesn't, it looks the same, but it's not the same. It plays very different than it did back in the day, put that way. And Truth is a shining example of it. It does not play like Midship did.
Nope, it doesn't.
But anyway, I would like to see some more original content, and hopefully we get some. I know they've said that this is the last major content update, so maybe we'll get some little ones.
Well, there's still Race that they've said that they're going to include, which they said that they're still working on. And assuming that they still are working on potentially other game modes to include in Halo 5, there's still that content. They're still going to be adding Forge stuff, because some of that is just stuff that they can kind of crank out easily. And I don't know, it doesn't really seem too unreasonable to assume that they might come out with some other additional maps, because this is just the end of the guaranteed content that they've been going at. So I don't know how much of the team is actually already geared towards Halo 6, but I think as far as I know they're going to keep on making Forge stuff. There's going to be game mode stuff that's going to continue to come out. I guess the only question from the multiplayer side of it is, will we see any additional original maps? And it would be nice to see some original big team maps. It really would. But I don't know. Might not be until Halo 6 that we see that. And I mean, not to discredit Forge, because Forge is actually awesome. Some of the creations that have come out of Forge have just been spectacular. And it's, how did you make this?
How much time did it take you?
There
are some Forge maps out there I'd put up against the developer map in quality, because they are doing some awesome things with Forge. And the nice thing is they're going to continue to update Forge. And they're going to, whether this is a good or bad thing, they're going to continue to develop new rec. So, you know, those are things that we can look forward to for the, you know, the hardcore Warzone junkies and the Forgers. You are definitely going to be getting content. I just hope that they do some other things like game types. And I would like to see them really focus on game types, because that is really a sore spot for a lot of people. A lot, these game types should have been there at launch. Granted, they weren't, but they really need to focus on getting those game types out, because it has really been too long. And I hate to say it, but it has definitely hurt the Halo player base when it comes to Halo 5 because of the lack of game types.
I would agree. I think 343 has actually done a pretty good job at making some milestones as far as their version of Halo. A lot of the infrastructure change with the game and their ability to quickly add in content is awesome. I think their whole re-engineering of the game engine was a good change, but
almost,
I think,
definitely,
and I forget how long ago I said this, but I think it still kind of rings true, but it seems like Halo 5 suffered pretty similarly what Titanfall suffered from, in that Titanfall actually reinvented, so to speak, the first person genre in such a way that the mechanics of the gameplay were spot on, but because of how few game modes there were and a last minute implementation of a campaign, a lot of people didn't find much to actually latch onto to keep playing. There wasn't incentive to keep going. And I feel that Halo 5 kind of suffered the same thing from a lack of game modes at launch. And then the fact that the campaign story didn't really line up with the whole promotion of the game leading up to launch.
Yeah, it just did not match up to what they advertised.
Exactly. So I feel that Halo 5 definitely suffered from being able to keep people out of the gate as far as the launch is concerned. And then the whole Forge thing not being there, and then from the campaign standpoint, not being able to restart a mission, or the whole score keeping, which has been a big thing for speedrunners. Because honestly, the Halo speedrunning scene is pretty much dead now. You see Monopoly speedrunning Halo 2 all the time. And really, the only other person I know that speedruns Halo on a somewhat frequent basis has been Joker, Pro East Joker. But even he's been dialing back away from that. So, yeah, it's a lot of it's been just like, yeah, it's cool that they're implementing these things, but as far as Halo 5's lifespan is concerned, it's kind of too late. So I hope they take a lot of the lessons that they're learning from Halo 5 and really nail the launch of Halo 6.
Yeah, it's, for a lot of people, unfortunately, it's too late. Halo 6, yeah, they've got a nail launch, but I don't think it's going to be the launch that anybody expects. Now, I could be totally wrong, and they could totally blow it out of the water, but I hate to say it, but I think the damage is done. Hopefully, Halo 6 can bring some of those people back, and via word of mouth, you get people back into Halo and really enjoying it. But I understand that they did a major revamp of the engine, but they also did that with Halo Halo 3, and they came out with a stellar game.
Well, and that was Bungie, that wasn't 343.
Still, you had a game company totally redesign an engine,
but it was their engine. I mean because they've been developing Halo since its inception, and thankfully it's been a lot of the same team, whereas,
right, but they had to totally rewrite the engine for a brand new console.
They didn't have to totally rewrite it. I think there was more of a engine rewrite for Halo 5. I think Halo 5 is honestly the biggest engine rewrite out of any Halo game that we've seen.
But there are just some things that definitely needed to be done different. we've already talked about that a lot. It just,
but in order to sell a game, I've got my fingers crossed
for Halo 6. It's getting to be a really solid game. They need to get the game types. They need to get all this done and get this right for Halo 6.
And actually come up with a good story.
Yes.
I mean, Halo 5 story was better than Halo 4 story.
Yeah.
I actually heard somebody say
they should release like an ODST game that kind of fills in the missing story for Halo 5.
What do you mean, like the missing story?
Like the story that they wanted to tell and not the story they did tell.
What do you mean the story they wanted to tell? Like what other story was there? Well, the story
they advertised.
Oh.
Something alluding to it. Just something to give you more information than what Halo 5, more story than what Halo 5 gave you. Maybe go a little bit more into in depth at why Cortana is the way she is.
I don't know if that's a game. I mean, that almost sounds like an external fiction thing to address, not necessarily something to address.
Like I said, this is just something that some people have said, and you know, on YouTube and things that I've seen on Twitter and things. So it's, I'm not saying it's practical, but we'll see. Maybe Halo Wars 2 will fill in some of the blanks.
It might. We'll have to see how Cortana's whole controlling the galaxy thing is going on after a year and a half.
And where the Infinity is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, I think we're going to have to wait 2 years to find that out.
Yeah.
2 more years after.
Maybe just 1.5. Because if they go on the 3-year cycle, it'll be 2018 when they release the next Halo first person shooter title.
Yeah.
So 1.5 years. Another little stat from the panel at RTX, going back to the Forge thing, there have been almost 100,000 days forging, over 272 years, just about 330,000 maps have been made, and over 5.5 million matches played in customs across 16.5 million players.
Very impressive.
Quite impressive.
I think Duquesne spent at least a quarter of that doing his Blood Gold remake.
Maybe 0.025%.
Yeah. There was a 2.5 in there somewhere. No, I saw that he was testing that with some testing that today. So I'm glad to see that that's coming together. I can't wait to actually get to play it. The
Blood Gulch is a classic.
Yes, it is.
It'd be cool like if he actually gets that done, if that could be something that gets incorporated into Big Team.
Possible.
Because I think that would be a good Big Team map. If not, going back to the college days of LAN parties, whenever you would boot up Halo 1 or Halo 2, having the 2 to 4 hour matches on Blood Gulch of CTF, those were some epic times.
Yeah, I don't know if I've got the patience or the willpower to hang into a game of Blood Gulch for that long anymore.
It'd be so much fun. Just have people dropping in and out.
Yeah. Here, your turn. I'm gonna go take a nap.
I'm hopping off. Someone want to hop in? Oh, pick me. Yeah. It's definitely one of those nostalgia moments of playing into the wee hours of the night and just... You might get 4 or 5 games in, and then you actually have people just kind of swap in and out as people need to come and go.
Yeah, it brings back the memory of when Halo 2 went offline. I tried to hang in there, but I couldn't.
Wah-wah.
Wah-wah.
Wah-wah-wah-wah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to... I had to sleep, so I did the rubber band trick on the controller just to keep everything alive. And while I was sleeping, the rubber band broke and it timed me out.
Oh no!
Yeah, I was like, oh well. But yeah, there's some good memories when it comes to Blood Gulch and just Halo in general. And Halo 5 is adding to those memories. Just took a little while to get up to speed, so.
A little while.
A little while.
Took a little bit more than a little while.
Yeah. I'm trying to be nice.
Yeah. 8 months later. Anyways. There's a couple other things that they mentioned during the panel, one of which is something that I don't think we've actually had a chance to quite address yet on the podcast, but it is the Halo Legendary Crate, which is actually available now. So I do remember we mentioned it when they announced it, but we actually got our first sneak peek at what's going to be in the crate. And there's a little exclusive collectible thing that they were showing off. And over the course of the next year, they're going to be releasing a crate every other month. And these exclusive new little figures, there's going to be six of them that kind of create this ring structure. So in order to get this full complete setup for these new little figures that they showed off this past weekend, you actually have to get all six crates. But there's going to be 5 to 7 exclusive items to the crate specifically that's going to be coming out every 2 months. There's going to be stuff from gear to collectibles to in-game digital content. So whenever you sign up for the crate, you have the chance to connect your Halo Waypoint account to your Loot Crate account. And that way you'll be able to get some digital goodies along with your crate. And it is, $34.99 a month plus $4.99 for shipping. So it really kind of boils down to $40 a month for this crate every 2 months, so basically $20 a month. And they've said that it's basically containing up to $65 worth of stuff per crate. So there's a few different plans that you can get on board with. And the longer you go, actually, the rate drops. So if you're just buying one crate, it's $34.99. If you buy 3 crates or 6 months, it's $33.99 per crate, so $1 off per crate. And then if you go 6 crates, over a full year, it's $32.99 per crate, which is $2 off per crate. So, yeah, that's something cool that you might want to get involved with if you're a Halo collector. First one is going to be coming out in September. You'll be able to pre-order up through August in order to guarantee your crate for the first one. And they actually on the website they have it listed. The founder's theme is Spartan 4 initiation, so it's going to be probably Spartan 4 theme stuff, and yeah, all that fun stuff. We might work with Loot Crate to try to get a code that you can get maybe for a discount or something, but there's a bunch of Loot Crate discount programs out there, so you can go and find a code pretty easily. I think Ready Up Live has one. I think there was a Halo one a while back that you could use. So yeah, there's codes out there that you can go and find and get 10% off. And it's only 10% off your first crate. So you have to actually go and create an account. So you can only use the 10% off once. So yeah. That was the other thing that they kind of talked about during the panel. I don't remember them really talking about much else. We covered the Halo Wars 2 stuff as far as the first campaign mission and the cinematic. We have the Forge stuff. We had the Loot Crate stuff. Warzone Firefight's out. So yeah, I think that's most of it as far as news goes. There is one other little thing that is out there to kind of talk about, and that is the Halo 5 Guardian Spartan Recruit Rec Pack, which Godzilla T actually just released a couple of days ago his Hunt for Junk. So he actually opens up one of these Recruit Rec Packs, which is available right now for $10 from the Xbox Live Marketplace, which includes 5 permanent rec unlocks and a spattering of other recs on there. So if you're looking to kind of help complete your collection, this is something that you might be interested in. And then as part of the ultimate sale going on right now, I believe Halo 5 Guardians is down to $20. Is that right?
I actually have not looked, but that sounds correct.
So yeah, I think it's $20 right now for Halo 5 Guardians. There was an Xbox Live free weekend. So if you had gold, you could download Halo 5 for free for an entire weekend and play. And that was actually up while Warzone Firefight was available. So it was kind of like a week-long demo of Halo 5. That, I believe, is over now, actually. So that's actually come and gone. But I believe the ultimate sale is still going on. And right now, the rec The rec packs are actually available at discounted rate of, I think, 40 or 50%, depending on what you buy. So all the gold rec bundles or the rec packs you can actually buy at a discounted rate. And then also you have Halo 5 Guardians, the base game, at $20. Lots of time to save some money if you're looking to spend some money on Halo.
I spent my lunch money for you, just so you could see what that the pack had.
Yay! For your search money. Right?
Just to give you an idea of what the sale's going on there, the biggest pack that they sell, which is 34 gold packs plus 13 free ones, is normally $99.99. It is currently $59.99. So pretty significant savings. If you want to buy gold packs, totally up to you. Just your standard everyday gold pack, you're looking at $2.50. Silver's dollar, you know, they're still $1.99, so they're not discounted. But the gold packs, you know, if you're into that and you want to help support Halo by buying rec packs, go right ahead. It's totally up to you. But just kind of give you an idea what the savings are.
Yeah. And going back on the rec pack thing real quick, something that I forgot to mention about the loot crate is if you link your Halo Waypoint account to your loot crate account, you become part of Fireteam Apollo, which is actually going to be lore-based. It's a fireteam of Spartan 4s that's assigned to the UNSC Infinity, led by Commander Palmer. So you're actually going to be quasi tied to the lore of Halo. And then being a member of Fireteam Apollo, you'll actually receive an in-game exclusive emblem for Fireteam Apollo. So if you link your accounts, you have that exclusivity in there. And you'll also be able to get some exclusive rec packs delivered to your account as well. You have a special forum badge as well. And if you opt into the year-long subscription, you will also receive a legendary pin, a legendary Halo pin. I don't know if that's going to be Fireteam Apollo specific or something other Halo specific, but there's going to be more details about how your involvement with Fireteam Apollo is going to affect your in-game experience. But you have that added bonus if you go ahead and get in on board with the loot crate early on. So it's a good time to possibly get into that if you're interested.
Oh, and I just looked it up. Halo 5 Guardians is on sale for Xbox Gold members for $30.
Okay, so $30, not $20.
Yes.
My bad.
Not $29.99, $30.
Okay.
Which really surprises me, because usually they do sales. It's
$29.99 or $29.95.
I'll paint any car, any color for just $99.95. And if you get that, you're old.
Well, I don't get it, so I'm not old.
It has to do with a certain someone that used to paint cars and advertise on television. His name is Earl Shive. Unfortunately, the gentleman has passed away. He passed away several years ago, but he was just a discount auto body painter. And he would come on TV, and he that's what he'd say. Granted, the price changed over the years, but still. Back to Halo.
Yeah, back to Halo. It's like, that's beyond me. Sorry. So, yeah, that's pretty much all the important news that we have to cover that we haven't covered in quite a while. We do have some plans on some upcoming shows, kind of more after
convention season.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, the next one I have is San Diego Comic-Con, which is in 2 weeks from today. And really, after that one, I have basically a month and a half break until PAX. So that'll actually be a perfect time for us to get into some lore discussions, get into some other highlights. So SPV3 for Halo Custom Edition is out. I talked to Bernie at RTX, and he said that we could get hooked up with Miles to talk about some of the story behind Red versus Blue, since we haven't had someone from Red versus Blue on the show in a while. I talked to a couple of folks from 343 about getting some people on, just getting on the show to talk about some stuff, whether it's stuff that's already established out in the open or just kind of some behind the scenes look at some stuff. So there is some opportunities there. Grim is interested in getting back on the show. We've talked to Halo Canada about getting on the show and talking about some of the Halo 5 campaign stuff specifically that we weren't able to dive into deeply, like what the heck is Cortana up to type of questions. So all those kind of deep, thought-provoking questions.
We haven't been able to dive deep into the rabbit hole just yet.
Oh, and that's a deep rabbit hole to
yes, it is.
to explore. I'm going to have to replay the campaign just to kind of refresh my memory on what everything is.
You're not the only one.
Yeah. So lots of stuff to cover. But the Loot Crate, Warzone Firefight, Halo Wars 2 beta, I think that really pretty much covers a lot of the news that we haven't talked about over the past while. So yeah, lots of fun stuff coming. Don't know what we're going to be doing quite for next week, but we'll think of something. And I know we need to get some community members on as well. So we'll be looking forward to getting some of that involvement down the road here, featuring some community members. But that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. I am going to go ahead and give away a Halo Wars 2 lanyard for those of you that are still here in the chat. I know Air Kibu's in here and Laird's still in here. I think there's a couple other people in here as well. I think we had some people leave earlier. I'm not sure if they're still in here. But nonetheless, I'm going to give away one of the lanyards real quick here at the end of the show. But if you want to join us and get on board with winning some possible stuff during our podcast, you can do that by heading on over to Twitch when we record live on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern time. We also have some other events that we do on Twitch, one notably of which is our customs nights on Fridays, hosted by the one and only Godzilla T, who hosts customs and Warzone, kind of whatever people are up for. And I guess it also depends on playlists that come out. So if there's a fun new arena playlist that people want to play and if the party's up for it, then they'll go to the arena playlist. And then there's Warzone Firefight that just came out recently. So you have people that are interested in playing that. So not exactly sure what's going to be going on tomorrow.
I have a pretty good idea that it's probably going to be Warzone Firefight.
Yeah, I think that's safe to assume.
just kind of from what I've been seeing in the playlist lately and the total discussion, I'm thinking the lobby's probably going to be leaning towards Firefight.
I would not disagree with you there.
But definitely join in, guys. You can message me on Xbox Live, preferably. It makes it a little easier to get you in on the party. We will get you in and get you in for some rounds of Halo, whether it be customs, matchmaking, or Warzone.
Yes. And then we also mentioned it a little bit earlier before, but if you're part of the Spartan Company, you can also get involved with Godzilla T in doing our Achieving Halo series. So we've released episodes for the first three missions of Halo 5. And as GT said earlier, he's going to be ramping that back up again, trying to record on Saturdays to get the rest of the campaign missions done. So if you are interested in getting involved or want to be part of a Podtacular production, make sure you are first part of the Spartan Company, because the Spartan Company members take priority over everybody else. And then message Godzilla T saying that you are interested in helping out with Achieving Halo, and he'll get you in.
Most definitely.
Yeah. We also have our Tactical Tuesdays and Warzone Wednesdays, which are our company events specifically. If you are part of the Spartan Company, then you can come play some arena with us on Tuesdays and Warzone on Wednesdays. So this week we played, we actually had a big enough party where we went into customs for our Tactical Tuesday. And we had at one point we had a party of 12 on Tuesday. So yeah, I think that's one of our biggest turnouts for Tactical Tuesday since Halo 5 launched. So that's really cool. And then Warzone Wednesday, we had, I think our biggest party was 7 yesterday, so we didn't have quite the full party for Warzone Firefight, but that's what we went into, and we only won one game.
Well, you know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose a lot.
Yeah. Yes. That is very true. So make sure you're part of the company in order to participate in those. And yeah, You can head on over to our company and request to enlist by heading over to podtacular.com/company. You can also check us out on our other social media platforms. We are on Twitter, we're on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. And in order to get to any of those, you just go to podtacular.com/whatever. And if we have it, it will redirect you. It's pretty simple. And we will be convening next week. Again, not sure exactly what we are doing, but make sure you come on over and check us out on Twitch or download us via iTunes or whatever other podcast aggregator that you use. Still working on some of the feed issues that we've been having of it showing up on iTunes and some other podcast aggregators. I know the Xbox Music Marketplace has some issues, and then there is actually Google Play has a podcasting section now, which we haven't had a chance to submit our podcast to that yet. There's some updates that we need to make to the feed before we actually do that, so hopefully we'll be making those changes here pretty soon. And we also took some pictures from RTX that we'll be posting here pretty soon. I was actually in charge of taking photos for the 405th this year, which was a nice little Matt last minute assignment that I was given. That was like, okay, that was fun. But I had a lot of time to hang out with the Griffball folks, and they had a nice stage set up this year, so that was awesome. And then shout out to the two guys who won the pins from me at RTX. So I took a pair of the Halo Wars 2 pins from E3, and some people found me and claimed them. So congrats to those guys for winning the pins. Hope you guys are listening, and if you are, congratulations. And yeah, that's pretty much it. RTX was a lot of fun. It was good to meet up with some old friends and make some new ones. And I will be at San Diego, so hopefully I'll see some of you there. And then I'll also be at PAX West, so I hope to see some of you all there as well. That's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. It's been a while since we've been behind the microphones live, so it's nice to get back into the swing of things. But yeah, we'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Keep on fragging trucks.